At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sir John Alexander MacDonald, born Scotland, the year 1815. He grew up, however, in the province of Upper Canada. Today we call it Ontario. And to help me understand why a man of such esteemed success, the man who is given the title founder, if everything else is not accurate, that is, of modern Canada, is the subject of derision by elements in Canada who want to correct a record with, well, what I read from Conrad Black's column of the National Post is creativity. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Please help my audience in America meet John MacDonald and his success in Canada.
Yeah, well, he occasionally is represented as the George Washington of Canada. Now, it's a different tradition because we didn't rebel against the British. We just said that we wanted independence. And I think because of the example of what happened in the U.S., the British said, all right, that's fine. You can have independence. But it took a lot of negotiation, both with other Canadians, with the French Canadians especially, and with the British. And MacDonald's masterminded all of that. He arranged the coalition within Canada. He arranged the terms of a new country, and he sold it to the British, both parties, Gladstone and Disraeli. And then he was a delegate at the Washington Conference in 1871, where the British and Canadians and Americans sorted out all the grievances that had developed during the Civil War, you know, where the British let the Alabama sail and the Americans had, you know, they had a number of annoyances against Britain. They had no complaint with Canada, but they, at that point, didn't recognize that Canada was really an independent country. And MacDonald made his point that it was an independent country, and he earned the esteem of both the British and the Americans for his conduct. And then the next great thing he did was he acquired the territory extending all the way across to the Pacific Ocean, and he built a railway, which, I mean, you people were building railways at the same time, but ours had to go largely over the Canadian Shield, rocky territory, until we got to the Great Plains, and it was one of the engineering marvels of the world, and we did not have capital markets then in that country that could finance such a project, so it was very difficult, but he did manage it, and so he has always been seen as a tremendous figure in this country. And as I put in the piece you're referring to, of all the countries in the world with 20 million people or more, I'm leaving out some small countries like the Netherlands and so on, but of all larger countries, our system is the senior one in the entire world except for the British and the Americans. And you know, when we were set up as an independent country in 1867, Germany and Italy had not been unified. Japan was a hermit kingdom. Before, that Perry had opened the ports, but they hadn't exchanged embassies with anybody. Russia was under the czars, and France was under the Second Empire. And they've had three republics since then. So it's a senior system that has worked, and he did it, and he has been attacked because of these false allegations that he was hostile to the natives, to the, what we used to call the Indians, and he wasn't. He gave them the right to vote, and he had alliances in the indigenous community that he was faithful to. I mean, it's a smear, and it's just an absolute outrage.
Prime Minister, 1867 to 1873, and again from 1878 until his death in 1891. And
for 6 years prior to Confederation, in a total of 28 years where he was the leader of the country, but it was only an independent country for 19 of the years that he was prime minister.
During the critical period in which the U.S. almost broke in half, and fought the overwhelmingly tragic Civil War. The U.S. tolerating slavery and then tolerating after slavery, something that we know as a disgraceful period of segregation and Jim Crow. However, never in Canada, never slavery in Canada. So the indigenous people are the presenting issue. So we go now to what your column is based on. For 2 years, John McDonald lived in a Victorian home in Kingston, Ontario, Bellevue House. And what has happened to that Bellevue House?
Well, you see, the house that was really his for most of his life and practically all of his life as a leading figure in the federal affairs is in Ottawa, naturally, and it's there. But it, because of some transaction that went on well over 100 years ago, it's the residence of the British High Commissioner, the British ambassador, and the British don't want to part with it. They're well aware of its historic significance, and they're preserving it well. But it is the residence of their ambassador. And so this is the only house that can be identified and open to the public as a house where the founder of the country lived. Sort of, even though he only lived there for 2 years, you see, the equivalent of Mount Vernon is occupied by the British ambassador. Now, basically, we should, in a friendly way, throw the British out and build them a new residence, a very fine residence, but take that back for this country, but we're not doing it. So this is the only house that could be found where he lived, and it's quite a nice house, but it was in the 1840s and long before he was very prominent. And what's happened is they reconditioned it and did so in obedience to the current practices of extreme political correctness. So the guidebook for it says that the mahogany furniture in the living room was cut down by Caribbean slaves and turned into furniture by slaves. I mean, they don't know that. In any case, McDonald didn't know it. And they have his hair comb, for example, in his dressing room on a counter, it's a tortoise shell, and they say that this is an endangered species. But it wasn't an endangered species 200 years ago. Was he supposed to know about that? I mean, so they're just taking every conceivable opportunity to represent him as a primitive, bad, white racist, you see, with no respect for the environment and a crooked machine politician. Now, he was a bit of a scoundrel at times. There's no doubt about that. And the one election he lost, you mentioned in your summary, he was leader of the opposition from 1873 to 1878. That's because these telegrams turned up where he was asking some wealthy businessmen for campaign contributions at the last minute to help certain candidates, not him, but others. And I mean, frankly, it's not much of a scandal, but there it was, and he lost that election. But the idea that he was like a boss tweed or something embezzling money is nonsense. So he's just being smeared. It's a terrible thing. And most Canadians don't like it, but officially that's still a policy.
And this is Parks Canada's work. Is this now a popular visit for Canadians?
No, it isn't. Most Canadians still admire him, and there is a counter movement now, and the effort to remove him altogether from the currency failed, and the whole thing is running out of steam, and the counter arguments of, and I'm one of the people making them, are taking hold. I mean, we are arguing for historical fact. I mean, you mentioned slavery. He personally approved the arrival in Canada of thousands of fugitive slaves and settled them in complete equality in Canada.
Conrad Black, writing the National Post about John McDonald, 1815 to 1891. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.